Good morning and welcome to Catholic Views. I'm Jerry Klein. Welcome to 2018, our first program of the new year. Chris Motes, who is Executive Director of the Catholic South Dakota Catholic Conference, will join us to talk about how things are going with the new conference and preparations for this year's South Dakota legislative session. Please stick around for that. Gene Young will have news for us in a bit. First, the readings for this Sunday. Melinda North with the first and second reading. Deaconville Radio with the gospel.
A reading from the book of the prophet Isaiah. Rise up in splendor, Jerusalem. Your light has come. The glory of the Lord shines upon you. See, darkness covers the earth, and thick clouds cover the peoples. But upon you the Lord shines, and over you appears his glory. Nations shall walk by your light, and kings by your shining radiance. Raise your eyes and look about. They all gather and come to you. Your sons come from afar, and your daughters in the arms of their nurses. Then you shall be radiant at what you see. Your heart shall throb and overflow, for the riches of the sea shall be emptied out before you. The wealth of nations shall be brought to you. Caravans of camels shall fill you. Dromedaries from Midian and Ephah, all from Sheba, shall come, bearing gold and frankincense and proclaiming the praises of the Lord. The word of the Lord. A reading from the first letter of St. Paul to the Ephesians. Brothers and sisters, you have heard of the stewardship of God's grace that was given to me for your benefit, namely that the mystery was made known to me by revelation. It was not made known to people in other generations, as it has now been revealed to his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit, that the Gentiles are co-heirs, members of the same body, and co-partners in the promise in Christ Jesus through the gospel. The word of the Lord.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. When Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of King Herod, behold, Magi from the east arrived in Jerusalem, saying, "Where is the newborn King of the Jews? We saw his star at its rising, and have come to do him homage." When King Herod heard this, he was greatly troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. Assembling all the chief priests and the scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. They said to him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it has been written through the prophet, 'And you, Bethlehem, land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, since from you shall come a ruler who is to shepherd my people Israel.'" Then King Herod called the Magi secretly and ascertained from them the time of the star's appearance. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search diligently for the child. When you have found him, bring me word that I too may go and do him homage." After their audience with the king, they set out. And behold, the star that they had seen at its rising preceded them until it came and stopped over the place where the child was. They were overjoyed at seeing the star, and on entering the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother. They prostrated themselves and did him homage. Then they opened their treasures and offered him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they departed for their country by another way. The Gospel of the Lord.
And now with a look at news highlights from this past week from the Bishop's Bulletin, here's Gene Young.
Thanks, Jerry. In the news this morning, 8 Catholic schools in the Diocese of Sioux Falls will be participating in the 2018 Catholic Schools Raffle, sponsored by the Catholic United Financial. Tickets will be on sale this coming week, January 12th through February 25th, with the grand prize drawing taking place on March 7th. The fundraiser differs from other school fundraisers in that participating schools get to keep every penny of every ticket sold. In the past 8 years, the raffle has raised $576,000 for participating schools within the Diocese of Sioux Falls. Participating schools in the diocese include the Aberdeen Catholic School System, Holy Trinity Catholic School in Huron, St. Lawrence School in Milbank, John Paul II School in Mitchell, Christ the King School in Sioux Falls, St. Lambert School in Sioux Falls, St. Agnes School in Vermilion, and Immaculate Conception School in Watertown. You can read and see more about the Catholic Schools Raffle in the January edition of the Bishop's Bulletin in homes across the diocese right now and online at www.sfcatholic.org. In other news, Pope Francis began the new year praying the world would demonstrate a marked increase in solidarity and welcome for migrants and refugees. Let's not extinguish the hope in their hearts. Let's not suffocate their hopes for peace, the Pope said this week on January 1st before reciting the Angelus with a crowd gathered at St. Peter's Square. For the New Year's celebration of World Peace Day and the Feast of Mary, Mother of God, Pope Francis had chosen to focus on migrants and refugees and their yearning for peace. For this peace, which is the right of all, many of them are willing to risk their lives in a journey that in most cases is long and dangerous and to face trials and suffering, the Pope told an estimated 40,000 people gathered in the square around the Christmas tree and nativity scene. Pope Francis said it is important that everyone, including individuals, governments, schools, churches, and church agencies, make a commitment to ensuring refugees, migrants, everyone, a future of peace. As 2017 was drawing to a close, the horrors of war and people's yearnings for peace were on Pope Francis's mind and in his prayers. In an unusual move, late on December 30th, the Pope had the Vatican Press Office and Vatican Media distribute a copy of a famous photograph from the aftermath of the atomic bombing of Nagasaki. The photo shows a young boy about 10 years old carrying his dead little brother on his back. The boy is taking his brother to be cremated. On the back of the card, Pope Francis wrote, "The Fruit of War," and signed his name. Below his signature, the Pope explained that the photo was taken by U.S. Marine Corps photographer Joseph Roger O'Donnell. After the bombs were dropped on Hiroshima and Nagasaki in 1945, O'Donnell was assigned to document the scenes. The sadness of the child is expressed only by his lips bitten and oozing blood, the Pope wrote. One other note from Vatican City, fear and the shame of admitting one's own sins leads to pointing fingers and accusing others rather than recognizing one's own faults, Pope Francis said. It's difficult to admit being guilty, but it does so much good to confess with sincerity. But you must confess your own sins, the Pope said this week at his first general audience of the new year. I remember a story an old missionary would tell about a woman who went to confession. She began by telling her husband's faults, then went on to her mother-in-law's faults, and then the sins of her neighbors. At a certain point, the confessor told her, "But ma'am, tell me, are you done?" "No." "Yes." "Great. You have finished with other people's sins. Now start to tell me yours," he said. The Pope was continuing his series of audience talks on the Mass, reflecting on the penitential rite. A safe haven program called Angel Cradle, operated by Covenant Health, may have saved a newborn baby's life in Canada. A healthy baby was dropped off at the Grey Nuns Community Hospital in Edmonton within the past 6 months under the Angel Cradle program that lets parents anonymously leave a baby in a cradle within a doorway. It was the first time a baby has been abandoned under the Angel Cradle program since it began in Edmonton in May of 2013, and it's proof that the program is working, said a spokesman for Covenant Health, which operates the Angel Cradle at Grey Nuns and Misericordia Hospitals. With a look at the news from this past week, I'm Gene Young reporting from the Bishop's Bulletin Newsroom.
Very good, Gene. Let's move on to our interview. This morning on Catholic Views, we are joined by Chris Motes, who is Executive Director of the South Dakota Catholic Conference, the relatively new South Dakota Catholic Conference. Chris, are you, after a few months, kind of getting settled in?
Yeah, 3 months on the job, and I finally figured out where the bathrooms are. I think I've worn the trail to Rapid City a number of times in my first few months, so I'm kind of getting all the corners of the state figured out.
And you are in the unique position, really the privileged position, I suppose you might even say, of being a part of representing both dioceses, both Catholic dioceses in South Dakota, Rapid City and Sioux Falls. It's never been done before, in this way at least. It's never been done before. And so that is it's a special thing.
It is. And it actually, I felt really proud kind of getting to travel around the state a little bit and see some of the different Catholic ministries and just the different initiatives that are happening in both dioceses is really been just made me proud to be Catholic.
Yeah. Yeah. Isn't that true? I mean, there's a lot that is not hidden necessarily, but perhaps not well known.
Right.
And I think you're right, in both dioceses, unique to the nature of the two dioceses, which are not the same.
Right.
So that's good. We thought we'd talk a little bit today, maybe talk a little bit about what you've learned in these first 3 months, kind of where things are heading, and of course also very aware that the South Dakota legislative session will begin, actually as people are hearing this program, this week. And so what that might mean for you and for all of us, really, as we look to that.
Yep, that's right. Heading up to Pierre next week.
Okay. And is it something you're going to be, are you going to be there a lot, or do you kind of as things demand, or?
Yeah, I do intend to be up there almost every day of the session this year and next. I think the long-term goal is to maybe not be there quite every day. Part of the vision for the South Dakota Catholic Conference is really to help inform public policy discussions to bring the church's teaching on faith and morals to those discussions. But the church is also really, really clear that it is not a political party. It's not a special interest group. And in bringing the church's teaching to these discussions, the church is not seeking to replace the state in any way. So I guess it's my hope is also out of concern for family life to maybe scale back involvement on the day-to-day level in future years. But for the first few years, at least, I will be up there every day keeping a close finger on things.
Do you think it's the sort of thing that as you have more time in this role and are able to, in a sense, educate all parties, those who are elected officials, those who are representing us in various governmental offices, and frankly, the public itself, as that opportunity continues over the years, your presence, in a sense, may be less required because of what you've done outside of the sessions.
That's right. I kind of think a little bit about session as the little Dutch boy with his thumbs in the dike. You know, it's okay. There's a lot happening, a lot of important work that's happening up there. But in a certain sense, there's this whole big earthworks that is, it's not necessarily just the Dutch boy with his thumbs in the dike. There's a much broader work that needs to be done as well.
Yeah.
That, as you kind of alluded to, it comes down to relationships with people.
Yeah. So, I know you've started some of that work. How do you feel about where you're at? And maybe you could talk a little bit about that if it's something you can talk about.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I've spent a lot of time in my first few months both getting to know people outside of the church, but also spending time with people inside of the church, visiting, you know, Bible studies and parishes and Newman centers. Outside of the church, I've had the opportunity to meet with a number of legislators, both East River and West River, both individually, but also in more of a group setting. And I've been really encouraged. Just to share with you a quick story. I was in Washington, D.C. a couple weeks ago for an annual conference with all of my colleagues, everybody mm-hmm. that holds my position in other states in the country. And following this few days with my colleagues, I shared with them that I just feel so blessed and lucky to be in South Dakota, because there's, even though we've got our differences here, there's such a neighborliness to the people of South Dakota. There's such a, I think, a level of civility, and maybe it's a little bit of naivete on my part at this point in time. But my experience the last 3 months getting acquainted with people all over the state is that really has shown itself to be true.
Is that an opportunity for us? That sense of civility, that sense that people are maybe still open here to hearing an opposite view, or not necessarily an opposite view, but that they're open to being informed? That we haven't lost that, as it may appear to be lost in some places in our country?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, it's... I think, yeah, I just said this word a minute ago, but relationships, I think it comes from, you know, many of us live in smaller communities. Even our largest city is small by national standards.
Mm-hmm.
It's harder to be uncivil with somebody you know, mm-hmm. or maybe know by reputation. So I think there is a real, there's something really good that South Dakota has in that way.
And you come at that from some experience yourself. I mean, you, as a former military man who was around the world and then lived in Minnesota for the last many years, you have some perspective on that maybe those of us who have been living here for a while, we forget it. You know, we don't see that quite as readily as somebody who's coming in having been away for a while.
Yeah, that's true. I'm back to South Dakota after 16 years away, both serving in the military and practicing law in rural Minnesota. And I got to tell you, I'm just really, really happy to be back. South Dakota is a special place. And so for me, it's a real joy to return.
It's fascinating to me because your comments are so consistent with what I hear from, you know, from everybody that goes to national conferences that works in the church and from the bishop himself, Bishop Swain, in our case, of course, when he comes back from national meetings, like, oh, I'm so lucky to be in this diocese. So lucky to be in South Dakota. And sometimes I think we do forget that, but there's a real blessing in all of that.
Right. And I think for the Catholic Conference, you know, I use the word civility, but we also might talk about it in terms of Christian charity, just looking at our neighbors as human beings and acting with love towards them. And bringing it back to the Catholic Conference, recent Holy Fathers, I think Paul VI may have been the first, but other popes have repeated it, is that politics is really the highest form of charity insofar as it seeks the common good. And that's, I think, one of the things that the Catholic Conference can bring to the political conversation in South Dakota and in South Dakota's communities is an orientation towards the common good. Sometimes, just due to the nature of political election cycles, sometimes we as citizens get caught up in asking the question, am I better off than I was 2 years ago? Or am I better off than I was 4 years ago? Which isn't a wrong or a bad question to ask. We want our families and communities to prosper, and, you know, even in a material sense isn't a bad thing. But I think perhaps a higher question or a slightly better question to ask would be, you know, are my neighbors better off than they were 4 years ago? Is the community in which I live, is the state in which I live more rightly ordered than it was 4 years ago? Is it more just than it was 4 years ago? Our faith has got really beautiful things to say in response to these questions that can help us answer them.
There's so many rich things that you can draw on as you try to do this education and this creating a better awareness. You reference common good. Certainly that's something even the Catechism talks about considerably, the common good and what that means and how that applies to us. The rich repository of social teaching is so helpful in some of the issues that I'm sure you're going to be dealing with going forward. All of those things can help. And there are things that, as Catholics, maybe sometimes we forget about, or maybe we never learned the way we should. So there's some real opportunity for you there, isn't there?
It's true. And we are strangers in a strange land. We live in a culture that sometimes has different values and ideas about what the common good is. Mm-hmm. I think there is a temptation for us to view the common good in a purely utilitarian way, which isn't really, strictly speaking, right.
Yeah.
It's more than that.
Yeah, yeah. Well, and we're commanded to love God as we love ourselves, and then to love our neighbor, you know. And we maybe forget that second half of that we have to love our neighbor as well as we love ourselves.
That's right.
Yeah. There's some challenge to that. Let's talk just a little bit about, and I know we can't really be very specific, but with the South Dakota legislative session starting, are there particular things at this point that you're aware of that are going to be issues, or is that still kind of filtering out?
No, it's still, at this point in time, legislation, it's starting to be filed. So I keep my eye on the Legislative Research Council's website. Any citizen can visit it. If you Google South Dakota Legislature, it's the first thing that comes up, and you mm-hmm. can see the bills that are being filed. So I keep my eye on those. Before drafts are filed, I only really become aware if somebody who's writing the piece brings it to my attention. So it's going to be a work in progress in terms of what I'm aware of and what the bishops may choose to comment upon. Just really generally speaking, South Dakota has a fairly rich tradition, I think, of a strong pro-life movement. And so I think it would be no surprise for us to see some activity out of those quarters. So we'll be looking forward to watching for that. Also of concern to the church would be, you know, anything that's impacting on on family life, religious liberty, human dignity. You know, the church is going to be really interested in things that that would bear on those areas.
I know one of the things that sometimes we watch is because of how it impacts people is the budget. I know the budget address has been made by the governor. That doesn't necessarily mean that that's going to be followed precisely. The legislature will have its own way with some of that. Anything in all of that that you're watching at this point, or is it just, again, too soon?
You know, at this point, really just watching. I think we may, as you mentioned there, we can't entirely expect that the governor's budget is going to be it. Mm-hmm. But in terms of my role on those, I really encourage citizens to watch and become involved if they've got something to say. You know, John Paul visited our country in 1999 and left us with a letter, and he was really clear speaking to American citizens in his letter Ecclesia in America that involvement in the political field is clearly part of the vocation and activity of the lay faithful. So in terms of the Catholic Conference as an arm of the church, we'll be careful not to delve into things that are perhaps afield from its competency on faith and morals. Mm-hmm. But as I've been telling lay people across the state and the legislators too, is just because the church is maybe discreetly and prudently not exercising her voice on every single issue, that doesn't mean it's not your job, lay people. It is your job, as John Paul made clear, St. John Paul II made clear that it is part and parcel of the vocation of the lay faithful. So get your hands dirty. Get in there.
We've used this term for years now, but we call it faithful citizenship, and I think there's something to that. It's hard for us sometimes to engage. We don't maybe feel competent, or we don't feel equipped, or to have even the right information sometimes. Is that, again, part of the role of the conference, to help empower people?
Absolutely. In the document you mentioned, it's under the resources tab of the South Dakota Catholic Conference website, sdcatholicconference.org, is a really beautiful document that the U.S. Conference of Catholic Bishops updates every few years, and makes clear it is your duty. It's part of your vocation as citizens to get involved. The beauty of it is it doesn't tell anybody how to vote. It doesn't say who to vote for. The church isn't a political party. It's just drawing out some principles. What are the things we're thinking about in terms of ordering a just society? I mean, there are some real some keynote principles that are in that document. Mm-hmm. How does our society treat the weakest and poorest among us? How does our society view the basic and most fundamental cell of human society, the family? There are those touchstone issues that become important.
And I wonder, Chris, if at this moment when there is, in a sense, at least it seems to me, greater partisanship, greater polarization, greater distrust of each other than ever in that political world, if this isn't a chance, if you will, for citizens to find a way forward. Really, I would encourage people to do just what you said, to read that document, because frankly, there's great hope in it. And at a time when I think people struggle to find a little bit of hope.
Yeah, that's right. I think it's it calls us to really to view our brothers and sisters in America really as countrymen, that we've got something in common with them, and we need to be really desiring the good of the other. That's inseparable from our love of Christ, our Christian call. And politics is really it can be at the heart of how we do that.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, again, encourage people to do that. You can find it on the say the website again.
sdcatholicconference.org. It's where we will have our bill tracker up in the future as time goes on, tracking particular issues. At this point in time, it's got a good statement of what our mission and purpose is. as well as links to resources.
Be a great one to bookmark, though, to have ready, because as the session goes on, there may be things that they'll want to, people would want to follow, and they can do that.
Absolutely.
Doing that. I do want to go back and talk just a little bit more about the South Dakota Legislature, because I think it's such a unique body. And again, having lived elsewhere, it'll be interesting for you to experience this kind of up close and personal. I had a chance to do that a lot of years ago when I was a reporter. Spent four sessions covering the South Dakota Legislature. It's a fascinating time, probably the most enjoyable time as a reporter that I had, because I got a chance to see truly a citizen legislature. And I don't think it's changed all that much in the 30-some years since I did that. So it's a great opportunity, and I encourage people, go visit, spend some time in the gallery, spend some time in the committees. It's really a great experience to understand how government works and what it means to us.
Yeah, that's right. And it's South Dakota is commonly referred to as a citizen legislature. I mean, it's really our neighbors up there. It's farmers, ranchers, small business owners, CEOs. It's such a crosscut of all different vocations that it's really a beautiful thing.
Mm-hmm. So anyway, opportunity for people to do that. Minute or so left this morning, Chris, as we wrap this up, what's your encouragement to people, both in terms of your work now with the South Dakota Catholic Conference and what people might expect, and then what you expect from us as members of the body of Christ?
Yeah, so to expect from the Catholic Conference is it's brand new, it's a work in progress, but I hope and expect that you'll hear more from me in the future. I'll be keeping my ear to the ground, keeping the bishops informed, staying engaged with legislators and laity alike. And I guess what I would hope from my fellow Catholics is just a responsible, measured, prudent engagement. Politics is. We know that it's not our savior. It's not a matter of just electing the right person, then we're all saved. So on the one hand, we stay away from that. But on the other hand, we can't stick our heads in the sand. We've got an obligation to pay attention, get involved, and really care about our neighbors through the political arena.
All right. Well, we appreciate that, and again, encourage people to watch the website stcatholicconference.org. I suspect you could probably access that off of the two diocesan websites if you can't remember the name. And that would be another way to access it for people who are looking for it. Hopefully you can even Google it at this point.
Yeah, I think you might be able to.
And find it.
Yeah, we'll see.
We'll see. All right. Chris Motes, thanks again for being with us this morning on Catholic Views.
My pleasure. Thanks.
Gene, first program for Catholic Views in 2018. Can't believe we're starting a new year.
A new slate.
Yeah, it's kind of fun.
A lot of opportunities.
Lots of chance to start fresh for people.
Exactly.
All right. That's a good thing. Also, I hope by now people should have their bishop's bulletin in hand.
January. So that way they can pore over it and see what's valuable to them.
Edition, the edition is out, and hope people find value in that. We'd like to hear back.
Exactly. Feedback is always a good thing.
For the bulletin, for this radio program, for all the different ways we try to communicate the good news, we love hearing.
Absolutely.
People. All right. Well, that's our time for Catholic Views this morning. Thanks for being with us. We'll be back next Sunday.